But one of the things they like to do to keep people from uprising against them is to keep them distracted. And I think Satan's doing a good job of keeping people in the kingdom of God distracted, so we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not warring and fighting the spiritual fight that we've been called to. And so we want to maintain a right focus on things above and seek unity and avoid divisions and distractions. He says there's envying, strife, and divisions. And how silly were they to have envying, strife, and division in the church over who was their teacher? So you get this. The church at Corinth was founded or established by the Apostle Paul. And we know that God moved him on to many other places, right? And he would go and preach the gospel and establish churches here and there and all of these places. Well, somewhere along the way, you remember Apollos comes on the scene. And he was a great Old Testament preacher. And he was a believer. And Aquila and Priscilla came along and taught him the way of God, the way of the Lord more perfectly. And he came in and helped to strengthen and build up this church at Corinth. So Paul planted the church and Apollos watered the church as it was still a young church, still a growing church. He watered it. He nurtured it. He helped it to grow after Paul had planted it. You guys still with me right now? So Paul planted it. He established it. Apollos came in later to minister to it and to lead it, to pastor it, to make disciples there and develop the disciples there. And they're arguing in the church about, well, I was taught by Paul. And they're saying, well, I was taught by Apollos. I mean, listen to him preach. And they're debating about this. They're having envying and divisions about who was their teacher. Can you imagine how frustrated? I mean, we're just reading the words, but can you imagine how frustrated Paul was when he wrote this? Hey, what are you doing? You are so carnal. You are so worldly. You're so fleshly. And I know you are because you're debating with each other about who was the one who led you to Christ. Who was the one that baptized you? All of this nonsense, there's division. And you think that's silly. I hope you think that's silly. I hope you think that's just the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard of. Until you hear about the things that Christians argue about today. Are we any different? I want to tell you the truth. I got a lot of friends, be careful with that term. You guys have Facebook. How many of you guys are on Facebook? Could you just, don't be ashamed. Just own it. Okay. Still on Facebook. All the old people. There's a couple of young people on Facebook too. Okay. You're on Facebook and you have Facebook friends. And can we all just say that Facebook friends aren't necessarily like the normal definition of a friend? Amen. Is that fair? Some of them are actually people that you're really close to, and some of them are just, they should have an acquaintance button. Facebook acquaintance. Okay. So you have these people, and I got a lot of Christian Facebook friends. And people from all kinds of denominations, from all kinds of places around the world. And I promise you, some of the people that I'm friends with on social media, I think that their main drive in life is to be as divisive with other Christians as they possibly can be. It seems that they do nothing but try to find something to disagree with somebody about. That's the way it seems. And can I just say that Satan eats that up? We have an enemy. We need to learn to fight against the enemy and not each other. Well, what if they're wrong? I don't know. What if you're wrong? What if it's really important? Well, then maybe you need to have a conversation with them. And maybe it doesn't need to be a debate on Facebook. I'm just saying. Okay. Seek unity and avoid divisions. And some of you tonight are thinking, well, I'm not really divided against anybody. They're just divided against me. So what do? Well, we seek unity. How about this? How about we try to focus on the things that we are most assured of, and we try to focus on the things that we do know are true and the things that we hold true together and the things that are going to further the kingdom of Jesus Christ rather than cause division within it. How about that? We need to trade our carnal divisions for spiritual maturity. Number two, look down at verse 5. I told you at the beginning, this is the focus. Trust God to give the increase. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers or servants by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Listen, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. You know what Paul's saying? I'm nothing. Apollos is nothing. God is everything. That's what he's saying. God uses ministers. God uses servants to give the message, and that's the way he's always worked. So he says here, Apollos, Paul, and we could go all the way through the scriptures and all the way through the history that we know of Christianity, and we could talk about people like Apollos and Paul, or Barnabas, or Peter, and James, and John, and you could read about people from a long time ago, men like John Wycliffe or Wycliffe, or John Huss, or Zwingli, or Knox, or John Newton, or Matthew Henry, George Whitefield. We could talk about Jonathan Edwards or William Carey, Adoniram Judson, William Booth, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, A.W. Tozer, Oswald Chambers. We could list name after name after name after name who men who faithfully preached the Word of God and by whom in their preaching God sent them to people to preach the gospel, and those people believed because of the preaching that they did. And you know what they are? They're servants. They're slaves. They're ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not anything. God is everything. Who is Isaac's slave? A minister. I pray to God, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. That's it. He says that we're nothing because God uses servants, and that's what we are. We are here to serve Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gave, and these were men that God gave to those at Corinth so that they would believe. And that's what he says. Neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And back in verse 5, he says, who are they? Who's Paul? Who is Apollos? They're servants by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And God gave those men to preach the gospel. God gave them to different people in different places at different times so that others could hear and believe the gospel. You guys see that? God gave those men to different people in different places in different times so that they would hear and believe. Do you know why you're here? Because God put you here. To serve him. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to be in this place and the places he's going to take you day by day at this time so that you can preach the gospel so that those that God sends you to will hear and believe. That's what he did with Paul, and that's what he did with Apollos, and that's what he's done with men and women throughout the history of the church, is that he sent different people at different places at different times to preach the gospel so that they could serve so that others could hear and believe. Maybe you're here for such a time as this. And you are. Plant, make disciples. Water, develop disciples. This is what we've been commanded to do. We're servants. And we serve him by planting and watering. Luke 17, verses 7 to 10. Luke 17, 7, Jesus says, but which of you having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. I don't think so. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. You know what you are? You know what I am? I'm a servant of the Most High God. And I ought to rejoice in just the reality that I'm his servant. And I have the joy and privilege of doing what he's called me to do. And you know what? So do you. You could do what he's called you to do. And at the end of the day, we say, I did what he called me to do. Always remember it's God who is giving the increase. The tense of the verb, God giveth the increase, is that weird tense that it's this idea. It was God was giving. He gave and he continued to give. God was giving the increase. So it didn't just start when Paul showed up. It continued after he left. And it didn't just continue while Apollos was there, but it continued after he left. And everywhere where followers of Jesus have stood up and said, I'm going to serve, I'm going to do what the Lord's called me to do, then God is in the business of giving the increase. So what do? Well, we've got to trade our carnal divisions for spiritual maturity. We've got to grow up. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We've got to have a spiritual and heavenly focus. We've got to trust in God to give the increase. You say, well, I've been trying to sow the seed and I don't see any fruit. Well, keep sowing. You say, well, I've been praying and I haven't seen this family member saved. Well, keep praying. You say, my kids, I'm trying to train them up in the right way, but they're not listening and they're not going the right direction. They're making some wrong choices. Keep training them up in the right way. Don't quit. You keep sowing, you keep planting, you keep watering, and God will give the increase in his time. Okay, so the farmer goes out and sows seed in his field today. When he wakes up tomorrow, is he likely to see any fruit? Next day. How long does it take? Hey, Brother Isaac, how long does it take? I don't know. The kids are always planting beans for some science project at home. Those things come up pretty quick. Sometimes you get them stuck up your nose, they'll sprout inside your nose too. Most of the time when you plant your crops, it takes weeks or months before you see any fruit. But we with patience wait for the fruit from heaven. So keep doing the work. Look at verses 8 and 9 as we wrap it up tonight. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are what? Can you guys say the word? He that planteth and he that watereth are one. The workers are one. Paul says, listen, Paul and Apollos, we're not divided. Why are you trying to put divisions between yourself for us? We're one. Our work is one. We are the same. We are one in Christ. We are one in effort. We are one in mission. We are one in labor. We are one in what we're living for. We're one. Stop trying to divide us. We're one. And in teaching that he and Apollos are one, he's teaching that everyone in the church is one. There's no reason for you to be divided with each other. We're one. The workers are one. John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, John 4, 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. And you know what it is? The workers are one. The one who sows, the one who reaps, the one who plants, the one who waters, it's all one. The laborers are one. We have unity in Christ. Unity in mission, unity in work. Now the rewards are individual. Back in our text in verse 8, he says, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Let's be clear. Everybody understand the difference between a gift and a reward? Yeah, amen. A gift cannot be earned. You don't earn a gift. It's not meritorious. You don't do something to get it. You don't do something to keep it. If I try to give somebody a gift and say, I'm going to give you this brand new iPhone, as long as you do this, that's not a gift, right? Salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot do anything to earn the keeping of it. It's a gift. But there are rewards in Scripture. There are rewards. There are rewards for our labor. And the Lord is teaching us here that when you plant and when you water, there are rewards for how you serve. What are those rewards going to be? I have no idea. Maybe they're rewards here and now. Maybe they're rewards then and there. Maybe it's both. I know this. I know this. What greater reward could there be than seeing someone come to faith in Christ and standing next to them as you worship Jesus in eternity? I know, salvation's a gift. I get it. I'm just saying, that's the joy. That's the hope. For we are laborers together with God. The workers are one, the rewards are individual, and we are working with God. You're not doing it alone. Not only does he give us each other to work with, but he works with us. We're supposed to do what we are called to do, and he will do what only he can do. And we get to be a part in the great work of growing, of seeing God grow his kingdom, his churches, people, disciples. He does that work. So, questions to close tonight. Are you carnal? Carnally minded? Envying, strife, division? Walking like the lost? Living like the lost? Or are you spiritually minded? Focusing on the spiritual and the eternal? Do you have a desire for the word of God? Are you growing in it day by day? Are you trusting in God to give the increase because you're doing your part to plant and water? If I'm doing my part to plant and water, then I know God's going to do his part. But I have to be faithful to my part. John Quincy Adams once said, duty is ours, results are God's. Duty is ours, results are God's. He was talking about the abolition of slavery in America. He worked tirelessly for year after year after year after year to see slavery abolished in the United States of America. And people wondered, why do you keep fighting? It's never going to change. And he said, duty is ours, results are God's. You know, the same thing's true, whether it's the abolition of slavery or the abolition of abortion, or the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the making of disciples in his churches, duty is ours, results are God's. We know what he wants us to do. So let's do our part faithfully and trust him to do his part in his time. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. We'll close with a song. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the time together in the word. I pray that you would convict hearts. Give us a desire for the word of God, a burden for the lost, a love for you and for others. And Father, I pray that you would help us to put aside carnal divisions and strife and envying, nonsense that distracts us, and help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, to look straight ahead and not turn to the right hand or to the left. Lord, that we would set our affections, our desires, our love on things above and not on things on the earth. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to love your word. Help us to love others. And give us a burden for the lost that we'll be faithful witnesses. Help us to plant, to sow the seed. Help us to water, to confirm, encourage, strengthen the believers. And help us to be disciples who are making disciples for your glory. And Lord, as we have this time of invitation, I pray if anyone here needs to make a decision for you to get anything right in their heart and mind tonight, I pray that we'll respond in faith and obedience. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 516, are you washed in the blood?